Welcome to the podcast Yakti Ukraine Life. Yakti means in Ukrainian, how are you? I'm your host, Lucia Chirki, a former correspondent, now a book author and a freelancer. The aim of this podcast is to give Ukrainians an opportunity to share their very personal experience of Russia's full-scale invasion. On this podcast, I'm usually talking to a guest joining us live from Ukraine. Today's guest on the show is a Ukrainian artist who talks to us from Germany. I'm more than delighted to welcome today's guest on the podcast, Anna Sarvira. Anna Sarvira is a Ukrainian artist and curator based in Cologne. Her graphic works and illustrations have been awarded and exhibited worldwide. Anna has illustrated more than 30 books and created styles for the international children's TV shows Brave Bunnies. Among her clients are United Nations Children's Fund UNICEF, the Museum of Modern Art in New York, and the European Commission. In 2014, Anna founded the Pictoric Illustrators Club with Oleg Grishenko and Alena Staranchuk. The Pictoric Illustrators Club organizes exhibitions in Ukraine and abroad. Hi, Anna. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, nice to meet you, Lisa.
I always start this podcast with the question, how are you? How are you right now?
Dobre, thank you. I'm more or less fine. I think because I'm much safer than most of Ukrainians are right now. So yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm very glad to hear that you're doing fine. You were born in 1986 in Kyiv, Ukraine, and you graduated in your hometown from the National Institute of Art and Architecture. What made you become an artist in the first place?
It's actually a good question because nobody from my family is an artist. So for my parents, it was a surprise that I decided to become an illustrator. And they didn't really have any clear idea what I will do when I will graduate. They imagined me selling some illustrations or art on the streets or something like that. So it wasn't supposed to be my career. But to tell the truth, I just loved to draw and I loved to read all the time. So when I was graduating from the school, I actually had already an idea that I wanted to do something connected to the books and to the drawing. And obviously it was an illustration. So I'm still surprised that I had a very clear idea at 17 that I just want to be an illustrator, nothing else.
Was that difficult at times, you know, to follow your dream to become an illustrator?
I think so. I mean, the older I'm getting, the weirder for me is that you have to sometimes decide your own future when you're 16, 17, 18, because I think like it's hard. Like for me, it was like hard because back then, you know, there was no internet like it was, but it was not like nowadays. So you didn't really have an idea what will happen, like how it will happen, what will you do in your future. There were no podcasts from famous illustrators, so I didn't have any clear idea what I will do. But I'm very grateful that my parents, they were actually very supportive. And when I told them I want to be an illustrator, they were like, okay, it's weird, but yeah, okay, let's do that. And so I just like jumped in and into something I didn't really understand how it's working. And I entered the art academy. And after that, it was much easier because I was surrounded by people who also wanted to be artists or were artists. And they were also not so always having an idea what are they doing. But it was a group of people that wanted the same thing that I did. So yeah, but back then I think that nowadays it's a bit easier to become an illustrator. Also because I think nowadays the illustration itself, it's more popular. We have internet, we need a lot of visual things. Like, so, I mean, back then when you were an illustrator, you only illustrated books mainly and maybe some posters, that's all we did.
If I understood it correctly, you were living in Kyiv when the full-scale invasion started. How did the full-scale invasion change your life personally?
I should just mention that I lived in Kyiv, but when the full-scale invasion started, at this time, I was in Germany. That's how I ended up in Germany. I went on a trip and I never returned from the trip. So yeah, it's just the condition. But I mean, I ended up in a totally new environment. I just woke up this morning when the full-scale invasion started. I was in the other country and I realized that everybody I knew, almost everybody I knew, were in danger and I don't know if I will ever see them again. So it was, I guess, the hardest moment is to realize like that everybody, my family, my friends, they are like in danger there and I cannot even do anything. Like that was this helpless feeling was the worst, I guess. But yeah, it totally changed everything. And I think like from the perspective of feeling safe, I don't know if any other Ukrainians, I guess, it's hard for me to even imagine if you can feel safe being in Ukraine, but being out of Ukraine, I'm still not feeling safe enough because now I know that anything can happen in this world. So yeah, it's, I guess that's the biggest thing that changed in my life. So I stopped feeling safe all the time. I stopped feeling that nothing bad will happen. And that's the biggest change that full-scale invasion did to me. But yeah. And anyway, I ended up in this new environment and I just had to restart and build my life from the very beginning here in Germany. I was very lucky that I had friends here. I knew some people, so I was not like most of the refugees who just came to the nowhere where they knew nobody. And I understand that I was very lucky to not to be on my own all these hard times. But anyway, it was, yeah, I'm feeling like I'm a bit restarting my life from the scratch.
Was being creative for you personally difficult during the full-scale invasion, or was it for you like an escape route?
It's both, I guess, because especially when I'm thinking about 2022, I feel that I was not myself. I was a bit like going crazy at the time, and definitely making illustrations that were about the war, about what's happening in Ukraine, organizing exhibitions, it helped me because I was putting all my anger there. I felt like it's a bit of a psychotherapy, like when you are just drawing what you feel. And from the other side, really, I cannot say I was very creative because it was not really about creativity. It was about the war, about politics, about my anger, but not about... So some illustrations, some poster I did back then, I don't think they're like good as an art, but they're good as a memory of what happened, like so. Yeah, in 2022, I couldn't do anything else except the images about the war. So for me, it was very hard to imagine that I can just stop and say, okay, now I'm drawing, I don't know, a peaceful life or like some sketches. It was half-half. From one side, I was totally engaged in drawing the war. From the other side, I couldn't do anything else. So, but I was very happy that I could actually draw at least, because I know that a lot of people, they felt totally lost because they didn't even know what to do at this time of the war. They couldn't do anything and they lost their jobs, they lost everything. I also didn't have so many work to do, but I could just draw for myself. It wasn't enough for me to calm down a bit.
You just described that during the first year of Russia's full-scale invasion, the themes of your work were all related to the full-scale invasion, to war. Looking at the work that currently got published, I mean, I just like show it for those who watch the video, and for the others, I will describe it briefly. So you and other artists, this is actually how I came across you and your work, because you and other artists from the Pictoric Collective helped design a wall calendar, and your works in the calendar, like this, for example, this piece of work, your works deals with everyday scenes in Ukraine, like, for example, a train ride, and another one deals like with a market sale. Can you describe what made you choose like these kind of, you know, normal, like daily scenes from Ukraine, which are not related to the full-scale invasion, like on the first side?
To tell the truth, this is the ongoing project and it started in 2016. And we keep doing that. So, for example, this last edition made for this project was this year. So we updated it. We did new posters and it has 150 posters. Project is called Yellow Blue. And it's about, actually, it is about the daily life in Ukraine. Because back in 2016, and the guys from Pictoric, we were organizing exhibitions abroad, and we actually realized that nobody knows so many things about Ukraine. So, like, I mean, people didn't knew a lot. Also, like, some people didn't know, like, the things that we thought they know. For example, that Chernobyl is in Ukraine. And we thought, okay, how can we show what's Ukraine? Like, we can show everything. Like, we know, like, we feel, we have every day. And that's how the project started. So we just decided to draw posters about our lives, like what we like in Ukraine, what we maybe dislike in Ukraine, but we still face it every day, like marshrutkas, for example. I don't know if the audience knows what marshrutka is. It's like small minibuses. So we started to draw things that we really face every day in Ukraine. And this calendar, it has some like posters from this project. And our main idea was not to show, you know, this official Ukraine only with traditions or with culture. So we mixed everything. So, for example, there you can find my illustration with the flat cars, with the trains, which I took a lot of them when I was a student and every Ukrainian did. But you also can find something about traditions of Ukraine or its culture. So it's a mixed project. And this year we unfortunately had to update it also in the way that everyday life in Ukraine is the war, and the war became an everyday life in Ukraine. So basically this project started like, it's a bit of a fun and like project, but now it's not so fun, but now it shows more complete picture of Ukraine nowadays.
That's very interesting to hear that people were not really connecting anything to Ukraine in former times. Can you describe, so what were the reactions when people heard that you're from Ukraine? You know, what were people's reaction to that?
You mean in 2016 or? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. But yeah, I mean, it's anyway, I think kind of a problem for Ukraine and for a lot of other countries around Russia, because every time everybody was talking about, let's talk about culture from Eastern Europe or whatever, it was always Russia first. And nobody really cared what's happening in Ukraine, Moldova, or Belarus. And nobody knew about that, except some people who had some interest. So when we were talking about Ukraine, a lot of people, they were like, oh, interesting. They could hear about maybe Kyiv or some, I don't know, sportsmen like Shevchenko, Klitschko, but they knew a few things, but in general, they didn't understand. Some people were not really even sure if we are some separate country or not. Anyway, a lot of people also showed their interest in Ukraine. And I think from maybe 2014, 15, it started to grow, like also because we had more connecting flights, more people were just coming to see what's Ukraine. Like more foreigners were coming. So I think when we started the project, we heard a bit more of the people saying, oh, I've never been there. But in 2019, like a lot of people were saying, my friend visited Ukraine. I visited Ukraine. The most common funny comment was that the people were asking, why do you have so many coffee places in Ukraine? Because it's our very funny thing that we have coffee kiosks every 100 meters. That's what I was missing so much here in Germany, because in Ukraine to have a good coffee, it's easy peasy. You're getting out of the flat and you're already there. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it started to change slowly. Also, I think because of a lot of cultural projects that Ukraine was bringing anyway out of Ukraine to some other countries, like we did. Basically, it was our personal initiative, but we were somehow pushing it. Like we were showing to other people, look what's happening in our country. So I would say it was 50-50, like some people were surprised, some people already knew something, and it was a good feeling because we felt like that something is changing. So I would say even through this short time of period from 2014 corona times, we already saw that like people are getting engaged, and we needed a bit more time to show what Ukraine is, but unfortunately first COVID, then full-scale war, and yeah, now Ukraine is more known for the war rather for its culture.
But that you choose like these kind of images to be published in the calendar, like the images of daily life and not some of the work you did like in the first year of Russia's full-scale invasion, which were all related to a war topic. What was the reason for you personally to choose like these everyday life scenes and not others?
I think, first of all, it's changed. So if it would be 2022, we probably would suggest the war images. But first reason, like I personally see, but now also my colleagues also see that it's changing. People are tired of the images of the war, of the missiles, of destruction. So, and I can understand them. I mean, like, unfortunately, the war in Ukraine became something that's happening every day for almost 3 years. So like, you're not surprising people by that. And the other thing, we realized we don't want Ukraine to be just associated with the war. We don't want Ukraine to be the country of the war. That's important for us, and that's how we are recently doing all our exhibitions. We are trying to talk about Ukraine, also about the war, but not in the context, look, this house was destroyed. We are trying to also show the culture that is behind us, like the history of Ukraine, all these things, because I think it's much more important to show people what Ukraine is or what Ukraine was like for the full-scale invasion, what's happening now, but yeah, like in the context of culture, because I personally think that it's much easier to support people or countries if you know something about them. And a lot of people, like, yeah, they were supporting Ukraine in the beginning just because they were kind, but probably if they know a bit more, they know what are they saving, what are they supporting, what are they fighting for, like that we have a great culture, a great people, and these people just need a bit of help.
Will you say this is also like the act of freedom and of choice, that you are not only defined by the war that was brought to you by Russia, but also like by your very own identity? Is that also like related to your choice of publishing like these everyday images of life?
Probably. I mean, it's hard to say, but yeah, we just don't want to be defined also by Russia. I mean, it's important to talk about the war. We cannot avoid that, but we also can talk about something else. And that's it. That's how we put it. And that's what we're asking people if they want to do exhibitions about Ukraine with us. We're usually saying, let's do it not only about the war, because we are not only the war.
Were there ever moments during, like, you already mentioned it, that the full-scale invasion is nearly going on for 3 years now. Were there ever moments when you thought, like, that maybe art is now senseless? That where is the aim and the meaning of art when this destruction is happening in the country and people are dying? Were there ever moments when you were asking yourself these kind of questions?
Definitely, especially in the very beginning. I mean, I still have these moments because, you know, when I'm talking that it's important to represent Ukraine only in the culture, you know, at the same time, we have like some civil Ukrainians or even people from like Ukrainian army who are dying right now somewhere in the east. So I'm talking here about the culture sitting in Germany, and it's one thing, but yeah, people are still facing the war and in the east of Ukraine, at least. So for me, it was very difficult in the very beginning of the full-scale war. I was really feeling that I'm useless as a human. What can I do? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a soldier. I cannot help. And I think it was a feeling of being lost a bit, like, what can I do? But to tell the truth, I still think that culture is helping. It's probably not a direct help. You cannot see it. You are like, okay, why are you drawing that? But I felt it like when I was drawing, when I was organizing the exhibition, and I still do that, people, when they see illustration, they see our posters, they can understand a bit more about what's happening. I also feel that when I was drawing illustrations, I could explain something to the people. Also, if they were not ready to take my point of view, I could start the conversation with them by showing the poster and saying, look, that's my point of view. Let's talk about that. So I always feel that this cultural exchange is the point of some discussion. You can start the discussion. That's important. So, yeah, for me, it was definitely very difficult to understand why I'm doing that. But I felt that exhibitions and in general culture is changing something. So, like, when you're showing here also in Germany to the people what Ukrainian culture is, they can understand why we don't want to give up. Because if we will give up in this war, we will also give up our culture. It will be destroyed anyway.
Would you say like that you are working also like with this collective you co-founded with Pictoric? Mm-hmm. Did that help you seeing a sense and having hope for moving on and doing even more exhibitions? Did that help you during these times?
Yeah, I think definitely. And, you know, I think that we were like a group of people, not just like separate people. It was very helpful because basically all of us did some posters, some illustrations related to the war. But in general, we moved as a group and we could do something bigger. We could support each other. We could see that, like, you know, also like when you are as an artist talking about the war, there are still some borders, like, you cannot cross. Like, you have to be sometimes sensitive to what the viewer will see. And it was also helpful because I see how my colleagues are talking about the war in their artworks, and I could also learn from them. And we could also like feel the support of the whole group that when we were discussing how we will do the next exhibition, what we can do. Again, like big projects, big exhibition helped us to, like, for example, collect a lot of money for the Ukraine, especially in the very beginning of the full scale war when we did that. So it was a very, yeah, for me, it was a great experience that I could actually relay on people that feel the same. And I also felt a bit more responsible because not so many people from our group, they were out of Ukraine. Most of my colleagues, they're staying in Ukraine since the full-scale war started, and they're not going anywhere out. So I'm one of a few artists who is staying abroad, and I'm feeling responsible to represent them, to help push our exhibitions all over Europe, at least. Yeah. So it gives me some, you know, some good proposal of what I'm doing.
You have like the impression that comparing to your colleagues who are staying in Ukraine, like the other artists, for example, of Pictoric, you have like the impression that this living in two very different realities, the one reality you experience in Cologne, Germany, and the reality they experience, for example, in Kyiv or in other cities of Ukraine, you say like that this influences your art and your art becomes a little bit different of each other because of the different circumstances you're living your everyday life?
Yes, it's definitely, thank you, it's a very good question, because it's definitely a thing. And I was scared about this difference, you know, because basically it was one of the, when the full scale war started, it was one of the hardest moments of our lives. And we experienced it totally differently. And I know that it makes a bit of a gap between me and my friends, because what they feel, what they experienced and what I did, it's totally different. And they have their own traumas that I can never understand and I can never feel. Even if I'm coming to Ukraine from time to time to visit my family or my friends, it's still not the same as living there. And it obviously has an impact on our art. And I also felt that, especially in 2022, that some topics I am not doing just because I didn't experience them. Like, for example, being in the bomb shelter. I did it when I was visiting Ukraine later on, but anyway, I didn't do it as they did. Like, yeah, we worked with different topics, I would even say. And for me, it was an obvious choice when I stayed in Germany to make my illustrations for the local audience. So when I ended up in Germany, I realized that here I can feel what people are talking about, what are they feeling, what are they confused about, what are the questions about the war in Ukraine. And my art was very direct. It was towards the people who are like living in Germany, in Europe in general. And my topics were about that. So basically, I personally tried to explain what's happening in Ukraine. Like I tried to explain my main statements, why do Ukrainians think like that and not like that? While a lot of my colleagues, they did more like a documentary stuff. So they were like showing their everyday life in Ukraine in the bomb shelters during the evacuation and so on. So we did a bit different job sometimes, but it was anyway like all about the war, but from different perspectives, I would say. And I think it was the right way, because like what we experienced still very different things.
When you're going back to visit Ukraine for a short time, I assume that you as an artist, you know, you drive through the country and walk through the country with very open eyes, trying to collect inspiration for your work. Would you say what you have seen in Ukraine since you traveled back to the country? Would you say that you've seen how the country has changed to some ways? What has catched your eyes during your travels back to Ukraine?
I think definitely, yeah, it was very hard for me, but definitely there are much less people than I remembered. So when I returned to Ukraine, I could feel that there are less people living right now in the country. You could just feel it from everything, everywhere, like how the traffic jam is working. Like, I mean, my friends, they don't agree. They say, okay, like in March 2022, it was much worse, and I can understand that. But I remember how it was before the full-scale war invasion, and I was really like surprised. I mean, it was not surprised, but I could really feel that it's like that. And I think the other thing, you could really, in every city, you could feel them and see the marks of the war. So destroyed houses, like people with protheses. I think they're called protheses. Yeah, like so people who were like injured by the war, also soldiers that were injured by the war. It's all like you cannot say that you're like in some peaceful country, because you can just feel the signs of the war everywhere. And for me, I guess it was that, yeah, like the most it catched my eye most.
What you say when you look at the work you have done before the full-scale invasion and the work you do now, what you say you also see like in the way you create your art a difference that was influenced by the full-scale invasion? Or would you say you try not to be influenced that much by Russia's full-scale invasion?
We cannot say that I'm trying to not be influenced, but I'm trying to find my way, because if, like in 2022, I did only the war images. Now I'm luckily doing not only the war, because to tell the truth, you can go a bit crazy if you only draw in the war. And so like I have very different projects and very different arts that often, like I think 80% of my projects, they were related. But anyway, I'm trying to be, I guess, a bit different nowadays, because when I saw my works in 2022, I mean, they were so dark, like the colors were dark. I was well known as an artist who was working with very bright colors. So, you know, I was using neon pink, neon yellow, neon blue. And then you see my Instagram feed from 2022, and it was total like black and red and like very, yeah. So definitely I had some impact from the full-scale invasion. I was feeling that, but nowadays I'm trying to change it a bit. I'm trying to work with the colors, not because I'm depressed by the war, but because I'm choosing the colors, how they're fitting this image. So I'm trying to go back to a bit normal way of drawing when you know what you are doing. Because I think working in 2022 was also a bit, I would say, I don't know, like I was just not thinking about colors. I was just doing what I felt. Now I'm a bit more like, yeah, and becoming my normal self, I would say.
You just said the normal way when you were thinking about what you were doing. Can you describe for people who are not artists and maybe are not so know the details of creating art or how that works, how the process exactly changed? So when you were doing art before Russia's full-scale invasion and doing art nowadays, what in the process changed for you when you come up with ideas and then when you choose the colors? What did change in this kind of process and what are you aiming for when you say like the normal process?
I think the process didn't change so much. I definitely, when I'm doing my illustrations, I'm doing a lot of sketches. I'm thinking a lot. I'm doing some color combination. I'm checking how it's working. So I have a lot of thinking process. Also, I'm thinking about how the audience will feel when they see my poster, how the colors will impress them. And when I was working, especially in 2022, I probably skipped a lot of these moments when I was thinking because I was very emotional. I was really like putting all my emotions in. So if I felt like depressed, dark, scared, you could feel it that I felt so. And I think the important thing was that I sometimes was not really thinking about audience. I mean, often tried to, but sometimes I was, it was so hard for me to keep inside all this pain that I was like just putting it outside. And I don't think it's working well because because as an illustrator, I try to talk to people. And when you're hurting people with your images, it's maybe not the way you have to work as an illustrator. So, yeah, I think I was just more like an emotional person who was just putting everything out. Now I'm a bit more calm and I have time to, you know, do the sketch, put it aside, then come back and maybe check and think about that. In 2022, I was just like, no, I want to draw that. It's so, I cannot keep it inside. And it was, yeah, a bit crazy, but yeah, that was the time.
When you compare yourself to artists in Germany who are not from a country that is currently suffering a full-scale invasion, and when you see like what they're aiming for, or when you're trying to understand what they're aiming for, what is it for you like when you see that they have not like such a higher aim as, you know, like making Germany as a culture or Germany as a country more known to the world, when they're maybe aiming for just like more personal, reasons, like making their art, the process of being creative. What is that? What you feel like when you compare and see when you compare your work to work from German artists, illustrators?
I think it's an interesting comparison because I really can feel that German illustration market, illustration society is very different from Ukraine. And it's also, I think, partly has not even so many things to do with the war. It's just, you know, there are some established countries that are very strong with illustration. So you don't have to push your culture because people already know you. It's like if you're talking about illustrations, for example, Germany, France, Italy, like people know this illustrator, so they don't have to like say, okay, look, this is our culture. While smaller countries like, I think, Ukraine or Moldova, they have to do that because people don't know that. But for me, it's interesting because I think both ways are working. I mean, like we are just on the different stages of our, I don't know, development of institutions, of culture, of representation. So I actually sometimes invite German artists because they can like draw like a bit more like fun and cultural stuff nowadays. I mean, and I'm also trying to join that because like, as I said before, you cannot only draw the war. Even if your country is in the war, you have at least sometimes to do something else. So I would just say that I like what German illustrators are doing, and it's totally understandable that you cannot. Yeah, you can just do your personal project and it's totally fine. And again, when I'm thinking about that, like I realized it only when the full-scale war in Ukraine started, that there was, for example, already the war in Ukraine and from 2014. And I was not like thinking about the war in Ukraine back then every day like I do now. On like there was a war in Syria as a Ukrainian artist. I was not so much engaged with the war in Syria. So it's just like I always think that it's just the matter of your experience. As soon as you experience the war, you see the things differently. So I'm actually very happy that people here in Germany, like German illustrators, they can just do something interesting for themselves. They're also engaged in some I mean, like, I saw a lot of posters from German illustrators supporting Ukraine, for example. So, I mean, they can do stuff they want to do, and they don't always have to fight, you know, because for a lot of Ukrainian illustrators, their work is basically a fight, and they are doing a bit of a propaganda, I would say, like, not always only poor art.
Do you yourself feel that you're always fighting?
Not always, but often. I mean, you know, every time we have a chance to do something, some project, for example, as a group, as Pictoric, we always think how to do it to support Ukraine. It's like sometimes, like, we all like, for example, to create funny characters, to draw something funny. But right now we are not, like, thinking about that. We are not trying to do that, because if we are doing some bigger projects like exhibitions or like illustration shows, we're feeling that if we will do just a show about funny characters, we will miss the opportunity to remind people about Ukraine. So right now I definitely feel that we are not always like just doing the art. We are like often doing something like, it's more like a political statement often. And yeah, that's what our life is about now. And we cannot change it. It's just a part of our life. We have to accept that right now it's what's needed. And it gives us also like the feeling that we are doing something right.
Can you describe a little bit, you're still doing like exhibitions abroad and in Ukraine. Can you describe how these exhibitions are different in a way? You know, I assume that you're doing different exhibitions in Ukraine and abroad because like the audiences are very different. Can you describe how you manage that to do?
Yeah, it actually depends, because we still have some exhibitions that are both working very well in Ukraine and abroad. And I wouldn't say there is such a big difference. Definitely in Ukraine, we are making different projects about Ukraine, but also we are trying to bring some international artists, because what's important, a lot of Ukrainians are now feeling a bit isolated because they're staying in Ukraine. Some of them cannot leave the country. Some of them just don't want to go abroad. And for example, everything they see, everything they get is like, it's only what's happening inside Ukraine. So we are trying to bring some international exhibitions, like the one we are doing annually, international illustration exhibition we do on Book Arsenal, for example, where we unite around 60 artists from all over the world, and we ask them to draw some new posters on some specific topics. Obviously, we started doing that even before the war, but now obviously these topics, they're a bit war related, but not always. We are not forcing people to draw the war. And I think it's very good, because if people have something to say about the war, they can say that. But if they don't, they're just drawing something funny, something nice. And it's also nice for the audience. So they don't have the reminding in every poster, there is a war in your country. So we do this big illustration exhibition every year, and it's international. People can just see how people are feeling all around the world, what are they thinking about, and it's super nice. And when we are doing exhibitions abroad, we are a bit more often showing Ukrainian artists only. For example, I think in November we presented in Rome on Baba Yaga Festival exhibition Safe Place, where we asked people, like artists, Ukrainian artists, to talk about the meaning of the safe place for them. So again, we stop talking very directly about the war. We are not just showing the missiles and destroyed houses, but we are like talking a bit more generally. Like, Ukrainian artists just showed their feeling of safe place, if they have any, how it feels like. Maybe the safe place for you is just a person who is next to you, and that's enough. And that's interesting, because then you also can find a bit more of a common things with the local audience, because I mean, Italian people don't know what the war is, but they also know what the safe place is. Yes, and you can start talking about that, and that's what feels important for us, is to find the topics that are not so narrow, maybe a bit more wider, but they're a bit more war-related. And then when you're showing these topics abroad, it's like working much better with the local audience, I think. So that's the projects we are recently doing. And I think it's working pretty well. And again, sometimes showing also like international projects abroad is also working, because again, engaging the local artists always working very well, and we are very happy that we actually can do that. Like, we have a big community of artists who are supporting us all over the world, so that makes our projects much bigger and easier to organize.
You just mentioned that there are artists, you know, among also like the pictoric collective who cannot leave Ukraine. What is your personal experience of what you have seen, you know, what colleagues went through? In how far is that difficult for a person when the person is not able to leave the country and being in this constant kind of threat situation since nearly 3 years?
It's actually hard to say. I mean, we even have some artists who are now in the army. It's just happening slowly, little by little. More and more people we know are going to the army. So it's I would say I cannot comment on that. It's very personal. I mean, it's always a choice of people. Some people are not leaving, not because they cannot, they just don't want to. I talked about that with my friends, and they said it's our basically statement. We don't want to go abroad when these things are happening to our friends, our country, our people. And I think for me it's always hard to understand what I would do because I had different experience. I just wasn't already abroad, so like if I could also be so strong as they are, because I think it takes you a lot of efforts, a lot of strength to say, okay, I'm staying in the country where there is a war, and I keep working. I'm always wondering how do they even have the powers to work, because from my very short visit, I also like saw how difficult it is, for example, everyday life in Ukraine is, and how difficult it is to work there because you have all these blackouts, you know, like, and electricity and air alarms. So people are not sleeping well. And still, like, my colleagues are like making this decision to stay there, and they're still able to like work and work. Sometimes I saw that like they're working much more than I do. While I was, you know, here in Germany, depressed and stressed, they were like, okay, we have nothing else like but work, and we will work. And I'm very impressed by all these things. But definitely, it's a big pressure on all of them because, you know, you're never safe, basically.
What would you say? What did help you to overcome like this feeling of being constantly stressed and not being able to focus on work as you would have wished? What did help you in this situation to overcome, you know, kind of this blockage you just described?
I think, like, first you're just like it's a very weird feeling, but you're getting used to the war. So like you're just at some point you cannot be stressed all over and over again about. I mean, you're just getting used, and it's terrible to say. But it's happening. I think the feeling that I'm doing something, so organizing these exhibitions is really helpful. Like for us, I'm very happy that we can still do that because then it feels that you're doing something nice. But also I was very happy because in 2022, I didn't go to Ukraine, but I returned there in spring of 2023 for the first time. And it was really helpful for me just to see that like places I know, places I like, they're still there. I don't know how it feels to other people whose hometowns are occupied or totally destroyed. But for me, I mean, like, I was lucky to be from central Ukraine, and yeah, I could still go to my hometown. I could still see that everything is there, like, even if it's in danger, if it's in war, but it's still there. And I think that all these things, they worked a bit. So I just think I can feel that 2024, I felt a bit more like I can clearly think without being always like panicking, stressing out and going a bit crazy.
Can you briefly describe what you are currently working on?
Yes, as an illustrator, because I can talk about different projects. I'm working as a curator for pictoric, as an illustrator. So as an illustrator, I'm making now a book with my colleagues, I would say, from Hong Kong, who currently live in Taiwan. I'm making a book about two kids, let's say, refugee kids that are meeting on the playground. The Taiwanese publisher contacted me a bit more than a year ago, and they asked if I can do something like that together, because a lot of people from Hong Kong, they also flee after the protests. And like, it's the situation that's happening with Ukrainian as well. A lot of Hong Kong people are living all over the world. So like, and we started, it might be a nice idea to show the life of a kid on the playground, like from Hong Kong and from Ukraine, and how they're interacting with everything. So that's the book I'm working on, and I hope it will be published next year. And as a curator, we are now working on a few projects. We want to organize a few exhibitions with this project from the calendar, actually, with Yellow Blue Project. And our biggest dream is to organize next year an international illustration festival, where we want to invite some speakers from abroad. I don't know how it will work, definitely. but it's our very big goal, and we are like already having some contacts with the local authorities, with the local community. So we talked with Book Arsenal, which is the biggest book fair in Ukraine, about hosting us, and it's our plan to make it in September, which sounds always a bit crazy because we have to bring, I don't know, 10 people to Ukraine, but now we talked a bit with our, with people we know, and some of them are already ready to go to Kyiv to be a speaker. It's super nice for us because I understand that it sounds a bit, yeah, crazy and dangerous. But again, it's like, it feels that it's very important to do that because again, it feels that some people in Ukraine are definitely isolated from all these events. So they cannot visit, for example, illustration book fairs in Europe. And we want to bring them, these people who are speakers there, directly to Kyiv so they can go there, they can feel engaged, they can feel again the support of these people who are coming there, like basically risking their lives. Yeah, but we will see how it will work, because the biggest problem of organizing something in Ukraine is that you cannot say what will happen in months, two, three. So like our festival will be hopefully in September. And yeah, I hope it will all work.
Thank you so much, Anna, for being my guest today on the podcast. Time is already running out. I wish you also all the very best for the book project, and I cross my fingers that everything will work out fine with the festival in Ukraine. Thank you very much for being my guest.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.